chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. We've been going through the book of Philippians. To me, it's been a great encouragement. I've never really said I had a favorite book of the Bible, but Philippians was always one of those that was high up there. And going through this a second time, I'd probably say that this has become my favorite. Now, that might change next time I go through studying a different book, but really, there's just so much practicality to it, and it's how I feel when it comes to what I want my Christian life to be like. Is it always like that? No. But at the same time, it gives me these holy aspirations, having the mind of Christ, esteeming others better than themselves, not doing things through the strife or the vainglory, seeing the examples of what Paul through and how he still was able to rejoice, seeing the examples of what Timotheus went through and also Epaphroditus, and they still had the mind of Christ. Chapter number 4, it talks about giving thanks, talks about praying, talks about the peace of God, talks about what we should think about. It's just a really, really great, great book of the Bible. And you come to chapter number 2, it's amazing in the idea of we saw what Christ did for us. You come to chapter number 3, and you have this idea of a Christian, you have him just pushing forward to becoming more like Christ. And that's just his desire. He realizes, you're going to see tonight, I know I haven't gotten there. I know I haven't arrived. I know I haven't attained. But you look at his resume, and you're like, wow. If there's somebody out there that had attained, if there's somebody out there who had apprehended, if there's somebody out there who was like Christ or deserved to be resurrected from the dead, it would have been this man here that during his Christian life had done so much. But he's the one that's telling us, I'm not worthy of this. And I need to keep on pressing forward. I need to keep on going forward. And that's what he uses. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I forget about those things that are in the past. And I'm pushing forward. But before he ever does any of that, he has to realize something. That I'm not perfect. I have not apprehended. Not using that as an excuse, because sometimes people use that in their sin. I'm just not perfect. No one's perfect. Okay, that's great. Apostle Paul could say that, and he could rest on his laurels of all the victories that he's had, all the things. He could have just eased into the Christian heaven, you know, based off his first 5, 10, 15 years worth of work. But as he got closer and closer and closer to the Lord, he didn't have that mindset. As he became more like Christ, his mindset wasn't to take his foot off the pedal. His mindset was to keep on and keep on going and keep on going and keep on reaching forward and keep on following quickly after. So we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. Title of this evening's message is This One Thing I Do. Last week we looked at the things he valued versus the things he devalued, talking about his previous resume, talking about those things he accomplished in the flesh. And then he also talked about what he valued. He valued knowing God better, knowing Christ better, knowing the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto death. So since he valued those things, this became his one thing. Since he valued those things found in verse number 10, he is having to understand some things. And these are, when you value what's found in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. When you know these things, you're going to come to this conclusion that you see in verse number 11 and 12. Let's see what it says in verse 11 and 12. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, getting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Lord, I never want to take this spot in the service for granted. This time where we're seeking you to bless the message. We don't always pray over this time. Sometimes we just go right into the message. But Lord, I do not want this to be vain repetition. I do not want this to be just something that's filling a time slot because, hey, you're supposed to pray here. But God, that we would, as a group of believers, seek you at this moment and say, Lord, I want you to use your word to speak to my heart. And that, Lord, my prayer is that you would continue to speak to my heart, and Lord, that you would give me the words that you would want said tonight. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be right. I want to be a blessing to these people, thankful for them. And Lord, as we see this example of Paul, that you allow him to write these things to this church that he loves, help the church to understand that he is focused on one thing, the most important thing. Lord, help us tonight to look where we're focused on, what that one thing in our life is. Lord, if it's not you, that we would change it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look what it says in verse number 11. And if we have, there's three main points. Usually there's three main points. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. This one thing I do, first of all, that's a pursuit. So the first point is the admission in the pursuit, the admission in the pursuit. Then we're going to have the action in the pursuit, and we're going to have the aim in the pursuits. So they all kind of go together with the A and the P together. But there's admission that is here that not everybody would say. It's even a surprise in the admission when he says, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. Verse number 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That word if there is not saying he's worried about Christ's power to resurrect him from the dead. That's not it at all. I believe what he's saying is he never got over his unworthiness to be a child of God. And when he says he wants to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he's not showing doubt in God's power to save him. Rather, he's demonstrating humility and his desire to live in such a way befitting a way that a child of God would live. He's saying, I want to live a life that would speak of the resurrection of the dead. If you go into that word resurrection, many times people think of it, the bodily resurrection that is found in other spots in the New Testament. Now, that is talking about when Christ returns, the resurrection of the dead. This word resurrection here means a resurrection out of. It's talking about even out of a life that is full of marred and sin, talking about a life that's different. So it's a different word than other resurrections that are found in there. And this is a little bit different because he's talking about, I don't want to live this life. I want to be resurrected out of that life. I've been given new life, and I want to live as a child of God that would act like someday he was going to spend eternity in heaven. He says, that's what I want to attain. My goal, and I think the easiest way to put it, and the easiest way to put it in words is I want to become like Christ. I want to be what God wants me to be. And we know God's desire and what God's goal is for us to be conformed into an image of his son. We know that from Romans 8:29. And that's what he's saying. Not that I've already attained that. Not that I was already perfect. He makes a submission. How many times do we hear people say that? Not always. Many times our pride steps up and we don't say, well, I know I got things to work on. Unless we get pinned down and we have some type of sin or we're corrected about certain things and this and that and we're there and we feel like, oh, you're right. I'm a loser. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. And we admit, I failed. Okay, beat me over the head with it. That's not what he's saying here. This is a man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's being used by God in a supernatural way. And he's in a prison cell and he's saying, in this prison cell, I'm looking at my life, and my life is being counted as a loss. I'm willing to sit in this prison cell. I'm willing to admit to a group of people I love, I have not attained, I have not apprehended, I am not like Christ as much as I should be, and I'm going to keep on working at it. But many times, Christians in their lives, especially ones that have been saved for many years, they are thankful for their accomplishments that they've had, and they've done all these things, and they're like, you know what? I'm just going to cruise into heaven. I'm good. I've learned a lot. I'm thankful for all those things God taught me. I'm thankful for all those times God's used me. But really, am I going to learn something new? Am I really going to be taught anything new? I've heard the preacher preach on that passage of Scripture 25 times in the last 50 years. Can I really get anything out of it? But Apostle Paul is saying here, he says, I know something. Something that many people don't understand because of pride. something that the devil will tell them when you turn to a certain passage of Scripture is Philippians 3. I've heard this over and over. Why is it that I need to hear it again? Because Paul's saying this is safe to hear it again. We need to continue to press forward. We need to continue to push forward because none of us have gotten there yet. And that's what he says in verse number 12. He says, not as though I have already attained. He says, I already know that I have not attained. I have not received it. I have not gotten there yet. I know that. And because of that, either we're already perfect. I'm not the spiritual mature person that I want to be. You say, why would Paul say that? We don't have many believers. I want to be careful when I say this. I have people who do not care about living a holy life who think they're fine spiritually. I know people like that, and they think they're good. And I know there are people out there that are telling me, oh, no, I don't have anything to learn. And many times they will turn around and tell you how you're supposed to be living or how you're supposed to be doing. But I ask them, have you read your Bible in the last week? The answer is no. Have you really had a meaningful conversation with God? Now, I don't need those things. He said, I'm good in my spiritual life. I'm good in my Christian life. But this is what you should do, and this is what the church should do. I mean, they can live a life that's apart from God and the Word of God, but they feel like they've already arrived. They feel like they've already attained. They feel like they've already apprehended, that they already know everything that needs to be known, and they try to teach other people. And I think there's a problem with that. I think there's a discouragement with that, because if someone came to me, I'd be like, I know there's things I need to learn. I know there's things I can learn. I can't always learn it from a person who's unsaved, because I heard a preacher the other day, and I've never heard it before, and I thought it was really neat. He says, you don't ask a lost person for directions. And I thought, so you don't ask an unsaved person how to get saved because they don't know. And if you got someone who's not living for God, who's not showing the fruits of the Spirit, who's not walking with the Lord, you don't ask them how to walk with the Lord or how you should be living. Now, can you learn from those people? You can. You can. You learn. You grow how what people experience and what you go through, how you can pray for them and how people see things from different perspectives. I am thankful for anyone who is honest with me and I can have an honest conversation from, because I can learn from a lot of people from a lot of things. But at the same time, Paul is saying, I get closer and closer and closer to the Lord and I want to win him. I want to know him better. I want to understand him better. And he says that was his goal. And in verse number 10, when he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death, when I begin to value all those things, I realize this, I'm falling short and I need God. So don't any of us think I've arrived. It's a dangerous spot when we think I don't have to pray. Oh, it's a dangerous spot when we think I don't need to open up my Bible and read it, that I'm already there. And I think he's writing them, and he's giving this personal testimony to them. And remember, this is a church he loves. He has been, I don't think he's been hard, but at the same time, some people have said that my preaching recently seems like it's harder and more when it's specific, thought, especially about the murmuring and the complaining, about esteeming others better, because it's foreign to us. Why is that? Because we're not striving to be like Christ. We're striving to be Christian we think we're supposed to be. And that's not always a biblical Christian. And if we look at this and say, what does the Bible say? And that's what Paul is saying. I had all these opinions before. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I counted my own righteousness. I thought I had everything figured out. But when I count that loss and I count that but dung, and I begin to focus on knowing God, and I begin to focus on what it means to have his power, what it means to fellowship with him in suffering, what it means to be conformable unto death, I come to this realization, I have not attained it, but that's my goal, is I want to be like that. I want to be as if I could earn the resurrection. He knows he can. He says that over and over. But he wants to live a life to the point that would point to that. He wants to live to a life that would show that I am thankful for being a child of God, that I've never gotten over the fact that I'm a child of God. And that's when it says down here in verse number 13, towards the end, it says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth, actually at the end of verse number 12, excuse me, that I may apprehend, that I attain that which I am apprehended of Christ. those things that have already apprehended me, those things that have already gained my interest, those things that I learned about myself and who I am in Christ Jesus and the fact that I have his righteousness, that is what has caused my attention to be apprehended to. That is what I have gained my interest in. That is what my desire is. I'm not getting over that. And because of that, I realize I'm not perfect. When we stop being impressed with the fact of what God's done for us, then we're going to say, well, I'm okay. I don't really need to do this or that. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says, but that by any means, and you think about what it says in verse number 11, by any means, he's not talking about being a crook. But that's what that we get that thought from, don't we? By any means necessary. Whatever has to happen, I'm going to accomplish this. And that's what he's saying here. I'm going to do everything. And obviously, he's not going to become Christ-like by doing it in the flesh. But he's saying, this one thing I do, by any means, whatever I have to give up, whatever I have to sacrifice, whatever I have to do, I'm pressing towards that mark. But he's not going to do that until he admits this, that I need Christ. And he says, not that I, and so no man was as successful in living for God as Paul, at least that's been recorded. If you would go down and you would consider all the difference that he made starting in Damascus to Jerusalem, over into that area of where he went when he went back home, and then where he, what he did in Antioch, and all the churches that he began, and you see that long resume, and he's saying all these things that he's not bragging about that, but he faced hunger, he faced nakedness, he faced shipwreck, he faced imprisonment, he faced death, he faced all those things, and even though he had this long, long resume of righteous things he did. We were talking about fleshly things earlier, but the righteous things he did pales in comparison to what anybody else during that period in time would have done that we know of. Now, somebody else could have been serving and doing more, but that's what's recorded. And he's the guy that's saying, I have not apprehended. He's the guy that says, I'm not there yet. I'm not spiritually mature like I believe God wants me to be, so I'm going to keep on pressing towards that. Now, how should that speak to my heart? I don't know if it speaks to yours, but it speaks to my heart that if he would say that after God allowing him to accomplish all those things while sitting in the prison cell, if he would say that, then don't you think we should say the same thing? The same would be true about us. We haven't apprehended. We haven't gotten there yet. We are not the spiritual maturity that God wants us to be. We will never pursue after this one thing until we realize we have a need. No one's ever going to truly turn to God until they realize they have a need for him. We will never truly begin this pursuit and pursue the way that Paul does until we realize that I need to do better. I can do better. Not only do we see the surprise in the admission, we see the sanctity in the admission. I want to remind you this. As he says, not as though I've already attained. Now, this is not an admission of a backslider. This is not an admission of even a David or Samson that had some great sin. It is simply an admission of who he sees himself as. And when he compares himself to God's standards, and when he compares himself to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and he's like, I'm not there yet, but I want to be. And I'm going to press towards that mark. This is the one thing I do. I'm not going to let other things distract me. This is the one thing that I put my priority on is to do that. And we see that this is a safeguard in the admission too. There's a safeguard here because none of us are perfect. But saying this as an admission protects us from spiritual pride. It protects us from complacency. It protects us from mediocrity. Too many saints today are satisfied where they are in spiritual growth. Instead of trying to achieve, they have no intention in growing spiritually or improving in spiritual areas in their life. They said, I have no interest in learning more. I have no interest in being faithful. I have no interest in growing in my spiritual life. But great achievements only come when we're not satisfied. We will never attain, we will never achieve until we say, I understand that my spiritual life is not what it should be. Now I need to push forward. One preacher, one quote I thought was interesting. It says, no athlete sets a record who is satisfied with what his previous performances were. No athlete ever sets a world record. You're never going to set a new record by being satisfied with what you did yesterday. And You say, Pastor, does it matter if I have a world record or not? No. Does it matter what my spiritual walk is with God? It is. Apostle Paul said, I see this. This is what I'm focusing on. This is what my one thing is. No Christian will grow or experience greater spiritual blessings who is satisfied with just staying where they're at. We should always be trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like Peter talked about. And so that's the first thing I want you to think about. He was trying to pursue this one thing. But before we're ever going to pursue after it, we have to see a need to pursue after it. And the only way that we're going to see a need is when we realize we have not gotten there. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 11 and verse 12. Second thing is, once you realize there's a need, there's an action that follows. Well, if you want to accomplish it, there must be an action. What do you mean? Well, I think all of us realize we have a need. I don't know. There may be some. But I doubt there's very many people in this room tonight that would say, I am where I'm supposed to be at spiritually. I do not need to grow anymore. I don't think anybody would say that. But I do think that there are some with their actions would say, I don't need to grow anymore. I'm good. Pastor may need to learn more. So-and-so may need to learn more. My husband, my wife may need to learn more. But I don't need to. And their actions. How do you know that? It's when they don't strive. It's when they don't get in their word, and when they don't pray, and when they don't do the things that God says is healthy for spiritual growth. So there's the action and the pursuit. The first thing I want to think about is the focus and the action. This focus and action. What it says in verse 13? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Once again, I am not like Christ yet. I'm trying to be like him, and someday I will be, and this is what my goal is, that sanctification process, get as close to him as I can. But look at what it says, but this one thing I do. So I want you to think about the focus, this one thing that I do. D.L. Moody, I know I mentioned a quote last week and the week before that, but there's a secondary quote he uses. It is better to say this one thing I do than to say these 40 things I dabble in. It's better to say one thing I do than these 40 things I dabble in. And I think you can be a well-rounded person. I think you can be involved in different other things, but it should never take away from that main one thing. There should never be something that says, I'm going to put this in place of my pursuit of this one thing. That one thing. And we looked at that and gave illustrations about that last week, about, you know, making God a priority in your life. And that's what he's saying here. This is Paul. This is the guy who's accomplished all this stuff. He says, I understand I'm not perfect. So since I'm not perfect and God wants me to become like Christ, this is the one thing I'm doing. I am focusing on that, and I'm going to try to become that. That means it's going to help me be a better husband. It's going to help me be a better wife. It's going to help me be a better child. It's going to help me be a better church member, citizen, all those things, because as I become like Christ, I can help. He'll lead and guide me in what I should do. So there's focus in the action. There's a priority and there's a focus. You see the priority being the one thing, and then there's the focus also. There's two sides of that. It's making it above everything else and then staying focused on it. The next thing is the forgetting in the action. And I think this is interesting that's found here in verse number 13. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. I know as I study the Word of God out, and I believe probably the main thing in this is talking about those past sins. But I think it's more than that. What are the things that stop us from getting there? So I think it's more than just forgetting our past failures, because believe me, our past failures will weigh us down. Some people use a past failure and say, because I failed at this, I'm not going to do it again. Because I failed at being a soul winner, because I failed as being a teacher, or because I failed at understanding something, because I made a mistake, I'm shutting myself off completely. It's not found in the Bible, but that's what he's saying. If Paul would have lived in the past, and if Paul would have said, because I used to persecute the Christians, I cannot do God's will, even though God had called him after he persecuted the Christians. If he would have said, because of what happened in Jerusalem, and they were not going to be willing to help me, then I'm not going to do it. He doesn't do that. He doesn't use John Mark's failure as an excuse. He doesn't use the rift between him and Barnabas as an excuse. He doesn't use the fact that it seems like we don't know where he went after Jerusalem before he went to Antioch. He doesn't use any of those things. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And I think that may be the biggest application for us, because we see Paul's life and we see his wickedness and we see the things he did. And we say, well, Paul would have to forget about those things in order to push forward, because if he lived in the guilt of yesteryear, then he's not going to be able to push forward. Okay, well, there's other times things that we must forget too. Forgetting those things which are behind. Maybe we need to remember to forget those achievements of the past. Now, don't get me wrong. We remember our past failures so we can make sure we don't make the same mistakes. We remember our past achievements to praise the Lord and give us the faith to continue on. But there are those who will say, hey, I remember back when this happened. I remember back when someone was getting saved every week. I remember back when I won that person to Christ 20 years ago. I remember. That's great. But that doesn't stop us from serving today. And that's what he's saying. If you read the passages of Scripture, you consider all the things he has done, he's not just speaking of his past failures. He's also speaking of his past victories too, because he says, if I'll remember that, and I'll remember when I started the church in Philippi, and you know what? I'm sitting in jail now, then maybe it's God's done with me, and maybe I can just relish on the things God let me do. But he says, no. I'm going to forget about those also. Not forget to the point that we don't use them as an encouragement, obviously, but it does not stop us from sitting on our laurels and just sit there and just wait and just say, I've already had these achievements. I do not need to improve. I do not need to progress. He says, no. I realize that God used me back then and God can use me today, and I need to continue on improving. I have not apprehended. I have not appertained. I have gotten there. So help me. I'm going to keep on going forward. What's something else we might need to forget in the past? What someone did to us. How somebody injured us. Of all the different things I've heard before in the glory days, and we still serve the same God. If we want to see that happen, let's get out and see it happen. Oh, I had these past failures. Well, I can show you example after example after example in the Bible of past failures that God still used them. But sometimes we have to get over a hurt. We got to remember forgetting those things which are behind. Because how many of us have heard somebody said, I'm not going to continue on going to that church. Or I'm not going to continue on going to church. Or I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore because of what this pastor did to me. Or what this deacon did to me. Or what this teacher did. Or what this member did to me. And they use those past problems as a way to say, nope, I'm done. And it's a challenge. And the Bible talks about forgiveness. The Bible talks about forbearance. We spent a lot of time talking about that during the months of September and October, and talks about dealing with individuals, talks about speaking with love. But people have given up in serving the Lord sometimes because of the way other people have treated them. And it's just not found in there. How many times do you think Paul was called a bad name? I mean, how many times do you think Paul was lied about? How many times do you think Paul was, he was beaten. People threw stones at him. People did things that really would have caused us to stop. I've seen us stop for so many little things sometimes. And yes, the little things hurt sometimes, but we're not serving other people. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, I'm forgetting those hurts in the past. I'm forgetting those failures in the past. I'm forgetting those things that even was achievements in the past, because I haven't reached my goal yet. I do not know him like I want to know him. I have not attain the knowledge and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I realize I am not spiritually mature like I could be. So that's why I'm pushing forward. There's a forgetting. But you think about the forwardness in the action. He doesn't say I'm not forgetting those things. And because sometimes we can forget, but we forget to move forward. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. But look what he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm not living in past failure, Pastor. I'm not living on what someone else did to me. I'm not living on the achievements. Okay, great. Are you reaching forward now? Are you see that there's a need, as he says, there's an admission. I'm not there yet. So am I reaching forth to become that, or am I standing still? If a runner takes the time to continue on turning around to see where the people behind are, many times they'll lose the race. At least they won't run as effectively as they could, because it takes some of your time, takes some of your attention, and it takes some of your energy to turn and look back. If you stay focused and just do the best you can, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run the best race you can. So not only do we see the admission, not only do we see the action, there even in this action, there's a fervency. Not only is there a focus and a forgetting and a forwardness, there is a fervency also in this. I press toward the mark. He's not just being limp. He is pressing it on. He's pressing it forward. It's sort of like when you're putting the gas pedal down. You're pressing it. You're pushing forward. You're heading to somewhere. I'm pressing towards this. This is my desire. I'm not letting someone else's hurt stop me. I'm not letting my past failure stop me. I'm not even letting things God let me do stop me, because I realize something. I'm not there yet, and I want to be there. I want to have the desire. I want to know him better. There's a fervency. So, last thing, the aim and the pursuit. The aim and the pursuit. Look what it says in verse 14. What is he pressing toward? The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? In my mind, simply, it's the will of God. It's what God's will is. It's knowing and understanding the will of God. And that's what, when we're going through these verses and we're talking about having the mind of Christ, and we're talking about how we should treat one another, when we're talking about forgetting, this is God's will for us. So what is his desire? Like we mentioned earlier, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. I think all of us would say, I know I'm supposed to be like Jesus, I'm supposed to be Christ-like. And I'm not there yet. I know I have struggles, I have sins, I have problems, and I'm not going to let all those things stop me. I'm going to press forward, and here's my aim, is do I look like Christ? Because around the room, we could look and say, you know what, I think that person's a pretty good person. I think that person is, I had somebody tell me one time, and when she said it to me, I thought, man, you're way off, because I know me. She said to me, it was an older lady, she says, you're the most Christ-like person I ever met. And you know what I told her? She says, you don't know me. I said, because I know me. I know that I'm not what I need to be. And I'm trying to, and I'm not saying that to brag, because I understand the person, I understand because I had helped with something, and then the reaction that I had was Christ-like. But I says, that one time may be Christ-like, but there are so many different things I still need to work on, and I have not apprehended. I have not attained. I am far from that. I thanked her for the compliment, but at the same time, I'm like, it's not something I'm going to hold to. Oh, because that one person said that, then I can spend the rest of my life. No, I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want God to say that you became like my son. And so I want to encourage you today, what is the aim? What is the goal? What is our will? It's not to impress the world. It's to impress God. Impress, I don't know if that's the right word, but to live for God. And what he says matters. I tell you, it's been difficult in the last however many years of ministry, because different people feel different ways. Different people look at things different ways. Even in this past year, I've heard a lot of different, I think it should have been done this way, or I think it should have been done that way. And there's been a lot of spiritual attacks in the church in the last 9 months to 12 months. And I think we're facing a lot of those things, and we need to pray, and we need to work our way through, but we need to stay focused on, I know I'm not there yet, and I need to keep on pressing forward on the most important thing, the thing I can control, the thing I can become like Christ. And I am thankful for all advice, godly wisdom, even criticism that comes along the way, especially with the people that do in the right spirits. But we can't get our eyes off what the goal really is. We're here to please the Lord. We're not here to please an individual. Our church is here to please the Lord. We're not here to please just one individual or one group of people. We need to make sure that we're living for him and the desire to move forward, that we've been predestinated. Someday we're going to become into the image of his son, but our sanctification process is, how close can I become to acting and looking and sounding like Jesus Christ here and now? That's my goal. But how many of us have goals we don't pursue? Sometimes, and I'll use the goal that many of us have, we have diet goals. I do. I do at different times in my life. I've never really been a super skinny guy. I blamed it on the fact that when I always had that eye problem, I went on steroids, and when I was in fifth grade, I gained a whole bunch of weight, and I blamed that. But in all reality, in high school, when I played sports, I was kind of skinny, so that's really true. But I've not really struggled with my weight, but never really been the happiest with my weight. And sometimes I have a certain goal. I want to get to this weight. Yeah, well, there's a lot of good things to wanting, but if you're not going to be pushing forward, it's not going to happen. To be honest with you, normally you're going to I go the other way. And if I'm not watching, if I'm not working at it, you know what happens? It goes, climbs up the other side. Because even though I have a goal to be, super in shape, if I don't do anything about it, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse, because as you get older, your body starts wearing out on you. And so it's okay to have a goal, but does your goal matter? So if you know you make the mission, I'm not like Christ, and I'm going to take action in this goal because I want to become like Christ, and let me aim towards that goal. Say, Pastor, you're never going to get there. That didn't stop Paul. He knew that he was never going to obtain, but he was going to work as if he could. Why is that? Because there's no greater goal, greater thing to do with your life than to become like him. So tonight, what do we take away from this? Well, first, there's got to be an admission. If you really, truly want to do this one thing, I haven't gotten there yet. Then there's an action that is involved. Forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth, having that focus, reaching forward, being forward in it, and forgetting, being forward, having a focus that's there, and also doing it with a fervency, because I've had success losing weight before, but you have to be fervent about it. You have to actually watch. You have to be careful. Now, some of you people out there can eat whatever you want and still be super skinny. I hate you. No, I don't hate you. I hate the fact that I don't do that. I'm thankful for you that you get the chance to do that, but that's not me. I want to focus on becoming like Christ, but there's got to be an action that's involved, and there's got to be an aim. The aim can't be to be like Pastor Peace, because I've already told you, I don't think you should be. The aim can't be even to be like your favorite Sunday school teacher or even your parents, because they've made mistakes before in the past. Our aim has to be Christ. And as we're striving for that, that's how we're going to press. It's what I'm aiming towards. It's how I'm pressing. And it's when I want to do it all the time, because I always need to be on guard. Is that what Christ would say? Is that what Christ would do? Is that the reaction Christ would have? Is that what he would watch? Is that what he would be a part of? Is that what he would say? That's what Paul was saying here. And it's found in the Bible for a reason, so I think we should abide by it. Pressing forward. Tonight, what is your one thing that you desire and you put the most attention on? Whatever you give time to, that's the thing that you care the most about. I'm not saying because of your work, you had to go 40 hours, you care most about work. I'm saying what you have your free time and what you're great to focus on. Could it be your family? Could it be a hobby? Could it be church? Could it be the Lord? One thing Paul says. And he was a busy guy. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know how he did all the things he did. He wrote all those books. He's sitting in jail. Maybe that's the reason why God put him in jail a couple of times, so he could do some writing. I don't know, but I mean, he's pastoring, he's starting churches, he's ministering, he's being an overseer in so many areas. It's not like this guy was being lazy. He says, yeah, I'm focusing completely on becoming like Christ. He didn't stop to do that. He continued on. D.L. Moody, that says this one thing I focus on instead of the 40 things I dabble on. If you go back and look at his schedule, crazy how much things he was doing. It wasn't the fact that sort of like the apostles having that membership of 8,000 to 10,000 people saying, we're going to focus on the word and prayer and thinking, oh, they just want to be lazy so they don't do anything else. That wasn't the case at all. They were going to give themselves to something, and what they're going to give themselves to was the word and prayer so they could minister to 8,000 to 10,000 people. Apostle Paul, even though I'm assuming he was super, super busy, he says, this one thing I do, this is my focus. I'm going to keep on pressing forward because all the other things are going to suffer if I don't seek this one thing. So all those other things are going to suffer if we do not seek this one thing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray for our church. Lord, I do believe in the last year there has been a lot of different spiritual attacks to our ministry. A lot of hard things that we've tried to deal with and we try to face. Things that we've seen happen and things that we've seen just be a part of. And God, it's easy to point fingers. It's easy to try to figure things out on our own and in our flesh. God, the question is, what's the one thing that we're really looking for? Are we looking for how we should respond in this? Or are we looking for how Christ would want us to respond? God, that we would have that aspiration that Paul had. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth. Reaching forward. God, pressing toward that mark. Understanding and knowing the will of God. Lord, would you speak to our hearts about what we're passionate about? And God, I pray that you impress upon our hearts that if we are not where we should be, that we would ask you to help us become more aware of how to become more like you. And step by step, moment by moment, we will just say yes to you and let you lead us and guide us and make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.